kind of a show are you guys putting on here today?
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN Chicago.
Great teams score touchdowns. Forget field goals. No one wants field goals. We want touchdowns. And we haven't been doing that this year. So we look at the scheme. We look at the execution. And we look at the people who are doing it. So that's all a part that we know, trust me, just like everybody, you know, we want touchdowns. That helps you get momentum. That helps you win football games. Field goals and not getting them help you lose football games.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
Welcome in. It's Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. I'm Chris Black along with Adam Abdallah sitting in for Carmen and Yurko today. You can follow us on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah and at Chris Black. We are live from the First Midwest Bank Studios on State Street in downtown Chicago. We are here till 2:30 today. We're open for business and your phone calls at 312-332-3776. You can tweet at us as well throughout the show. We will get back to you fully interactive, Abdallah, as we look ahead at week 17 in the NFL. We'll talk Bears and Vikings. It's a football Friday. Lots to discuss with the future of the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, and I think now that's what you're looking towards. Tomorrow doesn't really matter except for Mitchell Trubisky and Matt Nagy to continue, you know, growing together. We're all under the assumption that Trubisky will be back in some capacity next year, whether he's the starter or it's brought in as a competition and he has to win the job or it's his job until he loses it. Trubisky's going to be back next year. Ryan Pace believes in him. Matt Nagy has to say he believes in him until whatever magic Pace has over him wears off. And then you know that Trubisky's going to be back. So this game is try to, you know, work some things out, work on the offense, and move to next season. But next season, you have to look at, you don't want to see the same precipitous fall. If you go back to last season, Chris, in 2018, The Bears offense ranked 21st in yards per game, 9th in points per game, and 22nd in overall DVOA. This year, they fell to 29th in yards per game, 30th in points per game, 9th in 2018, 30th this year, and they fell to 25th in DVOA. Now, the other side of the ball is fine. The other side of the ball, obviously, it was a historic type of defense with the takeaways and everything last season. They were first in DVOA, first in points per game allowed, third in yards per game allowed. They only fell a little bit, 8th in yards per game allowed this year, 5th in points per game allowed this year, and they fell to 9th in overall DVOA so far going into this week. So the defense kind of took the drop that everybody was expecting. You're not going to be as historic of a defense. You've had some injuries. You had Akeem Hicks miss a bunch of games. You had turnover on the coaching staff with Chuck Pagano coming in. And so everybody kind of expected the fall of the defense to happen a little bit. They're still a top 10 defense by most metrics. And everyone kind of expected, second year in the offense with Matt Nagy, Trubisky kind of finally learning anything, everything. We can expand the playbook. Everybody's healthy. We can get things going. No, they went from 9th in points per game to 30th in points per game. And this is offense. I'm not talking about all the points that the defense scored. This is offensive points per game, 9th to 30th. So something has to change. Something has to change moving forward. You have to get back on track. You have to continue to grow this offense, whether this is adding a tight end in the offseason, in the draft, or through signing, whether it's bringing someone to compete with Mitchell Trubisky for the quarterback position. What I want to see on Sunday from Matt Nagy, open up everything. Let's run every damn play in your book. Don't dumb this down. You should be running everything. See what Mitch can do. What's the worst that's going to happen? You're going to lose a meaningless game? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter at all. You can be 8-8. You can be 7-9. It does not matter. Just make sure you guys get on the same page and see what you have in Trubisky.
It kind of matters, though.
It doesn't matter.
It kind of matters because if Ryan Pace has another losing season on his record, right? If Matt Nagy now has a losing record,
it's a losing season.
But Abdallah, it matters when you, in hindsight, you look back and you say, well, they were 500. They were 8-8. It matters. You know, it's interesting. The people who will push back on this idea that Mitch is only capable of doing what the coach has allowed him to do, and that's why he hasn't been successful this year, that interests me because I think it's flawed logic. You said open it up, allow Mitch to do whatever he wants, have Nagy give him the entire playbook. Who says that they haven't already tried that? Why do people think that there's some football conspiracy going on where Matt Nagy has not tried to implement his full playbook but and allowed the quarterback. Randy Merkin's here.
Randy Merkin.
Hello.
Don't you think that maybe that he hasn't because I don't. Maybe Mitch can't handle the whole playbook?
Well, and that's what my theory for the last two seasons is when you watched games last season, I felt as if early on, second quarter usually, Nagy would allow Trubisky to go downfield, open it up, try something. Usually it didn't go well. And immediately on the next drive, the ensuing drive that followed the opened up playbook, you would go back to the jet sweeps and the dink and dunk and all this stuff. I agree with you, Randy. I think Nagy has tried to implement this playbook and the quarterback can't handle it. I push back against the people trying to say that there's a football conspiracy going on and that Nagy hasn't allowed Mitch to be a quarterback. I don't think the quarterback can handle it. Randy, do you think the quarterback can handle it?
No, I think with John Fox and Dow Loggins, and I think the same thing now, that they've been kind of handcuffed. I don't think they can implement their full playbook, the plays they want to run every game. I think that's another disadvantage the Bears have going into most game plans.
I can't believe I agree with Randy.
Wow.
Why can't you agree with Randy Merkin?
It's fine. He said it twice. Nagy has said it each year. We have to scale the playbook back.
Right.
Because they're not stuff. He hasn't said that Mitch isn't getting there or whatever. He just said certain things aren't working. Why are they not working? Because you have a quarterback who is a one-read quarterback. You have a quarterback who, when he surveys the field and doesn't see anything, instead of throwing the ball away, steps out of bounds 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage. I mean, this guy can't run anything. I keep making the bad reference, and I'm going to keep making the bad analogy and reference. It's like giving a race car driver, come up with a race car driver real quick.
Greg Biffle.
It's like giving.
He is the Greg Biffle of NASCAR.
It's like giving Greg Biffle an 84 Fiat. It's not going to work, okay? He needs his car. He needs whatever kind of car Greg Biffle drives. I don't know what kind of car it is. I don't want to car shame. But it's not an 86 Fiat.
That's Adam Abdallah. I'm Chris Black. We're in for Carmen and Yurko today on a Football Friday, talking football with you at 312-332-3776. If you want to talk Bears with us, yesterday Matt Nagy met the media, and he talked about the important thing for Mitch Trubisky this year is to work on decision-making. Here's Matt Nagy yesterday.
I'm going to continue to keep saying that, to me, the decision-making process for him is very valuable to see the growth there. And then if there's part of that decision making, it's not always making, you know, a great decision to where there's a great throw, but sometimes it's the ones you don't, you know, the decisions that you don't make a throw. So, you know, it's been a year for us that we wish we were a lot better in a lot of different areas. And for him, you know, we want to end this thing on a high note.
Man, he came into the season very confident. It hasn't gone at all how he wanted, I'm sure. How does he come out of it now? Where is he at now, do you think?
Well, we'll see. You know, I mean, it hasn't been that way for any of us, the whole team included. You know, we want to finish this year and be able to go 8-8 and be 500. But in the end, really, we know that just collectively, that's not what we were shooting for. So whether it's Mitch at quarterback position, myself as a head coach, defensively, whether it's with takeaways, field position, all of that said, I think we look at it as a unit, all as one. And so with Mitch, you know, he's going to, you know, I'm assuming tell you that he's frustrated with how this year went, but he's going to be hungry to do everything he can to get better.
Do you think it's beating him down at all?
No, I don't think. I think it's probably, you know, when you say beating him down, I mean, it's a long year physically and then mentally. Yeah, there's times when you're gonna go through that. But what I look for is how do you get through it? And I thought he did that.
So that's Matt Nagy yesterday at Hallis Hall. If you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 312-332-3776. Joel in Hoffman Estates is on ESPN 1000. What's up, Joel?
Not much. Just want to share one of my concerns. As a former coach myself, I just feel Nagy has now, with that last conference, shown that he's not flexible with his players, which from what I've learned as a coach, you need to be flexible with your players. You need to work with what you got. And that's my major concern of everything, is just that, you know, even with Reed, he's always stuck up for his players. You look at the best coaches, they stick up for their players, and they always just do everything for their players, defend the players. I just don't get that feel with him, and that's just a concern. I think that that, you know, all this playbook and the fancy schmancy and, you know, smoking mirrors. Just want to throw that out there, wondering what your guys' concern may be with that as well, and just kind of throwing that as something into the mix in terms of, well, maybe it's not Trubisky. Maybe. There's a lot of maybes now. You know, it's easy to be an armchair quarterback and coach myself, but just want to throw that just a little ambiance in there and just wanted to hear your guys' thoughts on that.
All right, I appreciate the phone call. The one thing I would point to, Abdallah, with that is it goes back to the Jordan Howard thing from last year. I get it. Jordan Howard's not a great running back in the National Football League, but the thing that we kept hearing last year was that he didn't fit Matt Nagy's system, therefore he can't use him at all. And I always thought if you're a good coach, you would find a way to get something out of a productive player. Jordan Howard's a productive player in the NFL.
Yeah.
He's not a Pro Bowl level running back. I know he's had really nice seasons, but consistently, he's not a
top five running back.
Exactly. But for some reason, he didn't fit the system. Therefore, we couldn't use him at all. And I thought that that was a crutch and an excuse last year.
Well, and I said I want Nagy to open up the playbook and let Mitch run everything that is possible that Mitch can run, right? Just so we can see what he's got in this last game. And people are saying on Twitter, and as the last caller said, Jacob on Twitter says, why not see if Nagy can understand his team's strength and put together a game that shows Chicago he knows what that is. What? So do you want to see Trubisky kind of try stuff out there and see if he can run something that Nagy wants him to run? Or do you want him to put a game plan to try to beat the Vikings? Like, does it matter more to show what this team has on offense moving forward? Or is it more important for Nagy to say, hey, we're going to run the ball 40 times and try to beat the Vikings? I don't care if he runs the ball 40 or 50 times and tries to beat the Vikings, because the win doesn't matter. I want to see development from the quarterback. That's all I care about right now.
You know, I wonder what people really want from this game. You know, think back to last year. We had the playoff game to look forward to.
Yeah.
And we knew the Bears were going to be hosting a playoff game. But that last game against Minnesota last year didn't matter either. And the Bears went out there with, for the most part, second string players, and they played a great game. Nagy coached a great game last year, and they beat Minnesota in a game that the Vikings needed to win.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems as if when nothing matters, Nagy has put together some good concepts, right? Let's go to Paul on the north side. Paul, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hi, gentlemen. Is this Chris Black and Adam Abdallah?
Yes, sir.
Those are names.
I love you guys. I love listening to you guys.
Paul.
You guys,
Paul, are the future. We love you.
Thank you. This Trubisky thing, Jonathan Hood put it really good. He said, you know, yeah, maybe Nagy's a little culpable with the play calling, but we can't put Trubisky in a glass case, and he's not at fault. And like you folks have said, there needs to be development. Unless I see them beating some blue-chip teams next year or making some major moves, it's pretty much we're going to just have to wait two or three more years until they clean house once again, get a new GM, and then try it again with the draft picks. And, it's just been going on like this. I'm hearing the same excuses for Mitch as I heard with Rex Grossman and Jay Cutler. And then people are feeling bad for Mitch, but I think he signed like a $20 million signing bonus, so he's got his golden parachute. He'll never whine or hurt for anything in his life, you know? So I just want a good quarterback in Chicago or somebody who's functional. And the last thing I want to say is people want Mitch to run, but don't people remember that he's had two shoulder injuries in his short career already from running? So that's all I got, guys.
Thanks for the call, Paul. And I agree with you. Being a Bears fan for my entire life, all we want is a quarterback. We live in a wasteland of quarterbacks. You know, it's just this post-apocalyptic area where it's a burned down buildings, graffiti everywhere, no quarterbacks to be ever seen, right?
The year is 2019. The Bears still have barely a game manager at quarterback.
I mean, and you have, like, not only is it like the Terminator, but it's also like Mad Max Fury Road, like
the truthers
racing
have taken
through
over.
And leading the way on the cars, racing through this world that we live in, this barren wasteland of quarterbacks, is Pat Mahomes in one vehicle and Deshaun Watson in the other. It's just been terrible our entire lives. It's all we've dealt with. Yes, I agree with Paul. I just want a quarterback. Can we please get a quarterback?
It's Trubisky on one of those hangy things off another car coming down and trying to get them. And Ryan Pace is standing on one of them with a guitar and just flames are coming out of them.
That movie was so random. Everyone applauded like it was the greatest movie they've ever seen. I watched it recently.
It was a great movie. I don't care. It looked cool. It was a good movie.
Let's go to Nick and Gurney. He's on ESPN 1000. What's up, Nick?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're great, man. What do you got?
So all this talk is about bring in a veteran, bring in Jalen Hurts, draft him in the second round, bring in another quarterback to compete with Mitch. But Nagy doesn't play the starters in the preseason. So what does the competition matter? We're going to be having Case Keenum and Mitch Trubisky duel it out in a gust of silence in training camp. That proves nothing. If you want to have a real quarterback competition, you need to play in the preseason to show everyone what you can do in the game. You can do all this great stuff in training camp. Oh, Mitch really good at practice on Thursdays, but it doesn't matter if you don't play in the preseason.
Thanks for the call, Nick. I agree with you. What's fascinating about that is imagine if they do something with the quarterback position. Mm-hmm. What do they do in the preseason? Because if they're not going to play the starters, but it's a quarterback competition.
Oh, they'll play.
What, do they sit both? Do they sit the quarterbacks and Tyler Bray is going to play every preseason game and then we wait for it after Bourbonnais to see who played the best in practice?
If we could go back in time and redo what we focused on, how we talked about kickers during training camp nonstop, when Dan Weider, when Jeff Dickerson were saying, guys, kickers are great, but Trubisky is struggling in practice every single day, and this continues to be an issue. And then we're like, hey, but what about homemade kicks today? That doesn't matter. Don't let them shield you. Don't let them cover your eyes and pull the wool over your eyes with the kicker competition this year. There is one thing and one thing only that matters in training camp, and it is Trubisky versus whoever they bring in.
You know, that might be better than the season itself, if you think about it, because if they don't have a true quarterback, the season's probably going to be 500 next year, right? Yeah. So they won't be a playoff team. Mm-hmm. So the daily updates next summer in Bourbonnais of the quarterback battle, that's going to be fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
Randy, we may need more assistance on staff just to have people charting all these throws throughout Bourbonnais' practices.
Thought it was bad last year if the kickers, it's going to be 10 times
exactly.
Worse.
Yeah. Well, I think it's going
to
be great.
Are you
I think
saying
it's
we need to send more people to training camp?
Yeah, well, JD's going to need help. Okay. Charting these throws. I think Black and Abdallah need to be there with binoculars.
It's
and
a
we
dry
need to,
campus, man.
We can drive somewhere. Okay. I've stayed in Bourbonnais and gotten hammered with JD before, so I think we can figure it out. Yeah. We can handle that. Let's go to Chris in Tampa listening on the TuneIn app. Chris, you're on ESPN 1000.
Gentlemen, thank you for taking the call. Two quick things. Number one, the press conference with Nagy. That's pretty damning of him to say the thought process of our third-year quarterback.
Yeah.
Usually a third-year quarterback is understanding with what needs to be done, and you should not be talking about a thought process. He should already have what needs to be done. And number two, the evaluation of draft picks. Third year in with Trubisky, we take the number two pick with him having as many games as, say, a college quarterback coming out of the draft at number two? No. Whoever thought that the Texas quarterback should have been drafted after Trubisky when he came out is mind-boggling on how that was not chosen.
Thanks for the call, Chris. We appreciate it. Let's go to Andy in New Lenox on ESPN 1000.
How's it going, guys?
What's up, Andy?
So I wanted to talk about the college football playoff. I kind of have a format that I wanted to get your guys' take on.
Go ahead.
So we go to eight teams, and the first five, if you win your conference in the Power Five, you get an automatic bid. So there's a couple of reasons I like that. One of the reasons would be it would take almost like the games that are non-conference would mean less, so you would probably or hopefully see teams kind of beef up their schedule a little bit, so like you would get more of the big game, you know, big games that are non-conference because they're not necessarily going to matter as much. So you might get like Ohio State and, you know, some other, you know, big-time schools. You get a automatic bid for winning the Power Five. The sixth spot automatically goes to the best, I don't think mid-major is the right word, but the best non-Power Five school.
Yeah, group of five is what they call them.
Yeah, so it would go to the number one team out of that, whether it's UCF, Boise State, any of those teams. The best team gets a spot as the sixth spot, and then the final two spots would go to basically just the best two teams that did not win their conference championship. So it still allows for, like, remember, like, Northwestern was in the championship, and, like, they weren't going to mm-hmm. win, but it does allow for a team that, you know, can get to their conference championship, and if they win, you know, they're in. And I think that should be more important. So I wanted to get your guys' take on just kind of that, and like if they were to go eight and then the automatic bids for the Power Five conferences.
Absolutely. Thank you for the call, Andy. And what we're going to do is we'll talk to Adam Rittenberg in about 10 minutes here on ESPN 1000. We'll ask him that because we'll preview the two playoff games tomorrow. But I think something that everyone wants to kind of look ahead to is when is the college football playoff going to expand and how do we expand it? So, Andy, we will ask Adam Rittenberg how to fix the college football playoff going forward coming up in 10 minutes.
Yeah, and I think that he'll probably say the same thing as we will. Once the TV money is up, that's when, once the contract is up with ESPN, and they eventually will probably renew that deal, they'll expand it to more games. But I don't think you can do anything until that deal is up in 2026.
Well, who knows? If you suggest, hey, this deal's great, but the next deal you can make more money, maybe
this deal out.
Yeah, right. Let's go to Jake in Bedford Park. He's on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jake?
Yes, I'd like to, in regards to Mitch Trubisky's development and everything is talked about how he does and how Coach Nagy seems to assist him, why isn't anything ever mentioned about the quarterback's coach? You know, I kind of hang up and listen to what you have to say about that.
Dave Ragone. Abdallah, address Dave Ragone and his quarterback coaching.
I mean, he probably, you know, I think this is more on Helfrich than it is on Ragone. I mean, you can only coach. I think
Thanks
Chase,
for the call, Jake.
Chase
we appreciate
Daniel
it.
Is more of the quarterback's coach than Dave Ragone.
Well, hold on. Matt Nagy was brought in here to fix the quarterback and to be a quarterback whisperer. You can blame Dave Ragone, certainly, as mm-hmm. much as you blame Matt Nagy, because his title is quarterback's coach, and his quarterback is not very good.
Mm-hmm.
So the blame goes there. You could also put blame on Mark Helfrich, because he's the offensive coordinator for a team that's one of the worst in the NFL in most categories on offense. So the blame should go to all of those individuals. That's where the blame should go.
And I was talking about it with Sylvie yesterday. I think the guy that's going to end up having to fall on the sword this year might be Mark Helfrich. I think that you can't regress this much offensively and not have someone to blame and not have someone be accountable for it.
That's tough for him because a lot of college football jobs have already been taken.
It is. But
he's someone who could coach in college again.
Yeah, listen, what happens when an offensive assistant somewhere gets fired, they just go to Alabama, and then the next year they have a head coaching job.
Could you imagine? Abdallah, this season, surprise everyone with holiday instant tickets from the Illinois Lottery. You could hide merry money inside fuzzy house slippers for your mom. Sneak a show me the money inside a tin of homemade cookies for your favorite coworker, like me. I'm your favorite coworker, right? I'm putting you on the spot. You have to rank everyone.
But Randy likes cookies.
He does. He likes cookies more than I do. I don't eat cookies. If you slipped it into a plate of nachos, I would do that. Or just slide a holiday countdown ticket under your neighbor's front door. The surprises keep coming because this year, eligible holiday instant tickets come with a second chance to win up to $1 million. Get more surprises with holiday instant tickets from the Illinois Lottery. Be smart. Play smart. Must be 18 years or older to play. Bleck and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000. We will continue with your Bears phone calls. It's a football Friday, looking ahead at the Bears and the Vikings and what to do with this Bears team going forward. We will also preview the college football playoff with Adam Rittenberg from ESPN. Coming up next, Bleck and Abdallah in for Carmen and Yurko right here on ESPN 1000.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN Chicago.
You can't really practice adrenaline in the game, so I feel like when it comes game time, there'll be a bunch of the energy flowing throughout my body, and I really won't be focused on the pain and stuff like that. So really just going out there and just playing my game, I don't think I'll be focused on my knee.
That was Justin Fields, quarterback at Ohio State. They face off against Clemson, the 3-2 matchup in the PlayStation Fiesta Bowl. in the college football semifinal tomorrow night. That's the night game, LSU Oklahoma. The day game at 3 o'clock. Number 4 Oklahoma, number 1 LSU in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. The college football playoff. Chris Black, Adam Abdallah singing for Carmen and Yurko today here on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. I'm excited for both of these games. I think they give you something different to kind of focus in on. The quarterback play should be great in both of these contests, and we'll see who's real in this foursome and who's just kind of there based on the great schedule they had throughout the year. I'm talking about Clemson and a little bit of Oklahoma, too.
Lot of points expected in these games, Chris. The over-under for the first game, Oklahoma-LSU, is at 75.5. The second game, 63. A lot of points.
Let's talk with Adam Rittenberg from ESPN. He covers college football, and you can also follow him on Twitter at ESPN Rittenberg. He joined us a lot throughout the college football season on our Chicago's College Tailgate show Saturdays throughout the fall. And Adam, as we get set to preview these bowl games for the college football playoff, what should we kind of focus in on when we look ahead at Oklahoma and LSU, the first game tomorrow afternoon?
Well, good to be with you guys. Yeah, I think for Oklahoma, it's, you know, how much have they truly improved on defense? Because they're going to have to play their best game, really on both sides, but especially defensively, to contain Joe Burrow and this passing attack from LSU, which has been maybe the surprising story of the college football season nationally this year. So, yeah, they're a lot better defensively, Oklahoma, but can they contain Ja'Marr Chase? Can they force some interceptions or turnovers from the LSU offense? Can they limit their number of scoring drives? Because really nobody outside of Auburn has been able to do that consistently. And then from LSU, you know, they played really good defense the last two games against Texas A&M and Georgia. Oklahoma's a much better offense. They've seen Jalen Hurts before when he was in an Alabama uniform. How do they perform against him? And then I just think the really cool thing about this matchup, you have a quarterback in Jalen Hurts who maybe is the player that's defined the college football playoff era more than anyone else. He's going to be in it with two separate teams. He's in the same stadium where he won it, where he was benched and they won a national title with Alabama. Same stadium where he came off the bench to help Alabama get into the playoff last year and beat Georgia in the SEC championship. So that is just something that we're not going to see very often, a great subplot of this game.
As far as you mentioned all the experience that Jalen has, but how much does it matter when you're in this game, and how much has Lincoln Riley talked about the experience of Jalen Hurts rather than his other quarterbacks that have been in this situation?
Well, again, you know, everyone in Oklahoma has been in the playoff, unless they're true freshmen or transfers. So, you know, and obviously Jalen's been in it multiple times with Alabama, and that's always an advantage. You know, LSU has not been part of this. You know, Joe Burrow, you know, when he was on Ohio State, was not a factor when they were in the playoff in 2016. And so, you know, that would give Oklahoma, you know, somewhat of an edge. But LSU is just a much better team, in my view. And that's not necessarily a knock on Oklahoma. I just think LSU is that good. Joe Burrow is that special. Their offense is, you know, kind of that revolutionary from what we've seen in recent years. You know, I got to see them against Texas A&M a few weeks ago, and A&M, which has some pretty good players on its defense, had no answers for Burrow or those receivers. We'll see about Clyde Edwards-Helaire at running back. Sounds like he may play or give it a go. Won't be 100%, but I just don't think Oklahoma can slow them down unless they force some turnovers. And the problem for Oklahoma, guys, is that they have won some games this year despite some Jalen Hurts turnovers. The first Baylor game, the Texas game, I think he had two red zone turnovers and nearly a third. If you have that against LSU, you have absolutely no chance. So in my view, Oklahoma is going to have to win the turnover margin at least by two, if not more, to have a chance in this game.
Adam Rittenberg joining Chris Black and Adam Abdallah in for Carmen and Yurko here on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. Specifically about Joe Burrow in the season that he had, he wins the Heisman Trophy. He throws for 48 touchdowns. LSU goes 13-0. He's the best quarterback in college football. Adam, you have followed college football for a very long time. When we look back like 10 years down the road at what Joe Burrow did this season, what do you think will stand out at the end of the day?
Well, I think it's more so the fact that, you know, Joe has been an underdog his entire career. You know, I do these first look Heisman lists right after the Heisman Award is given for the next year. And he was nowhere to be found on mine or anyone else's for the 2019 Heisman. You know, he was a guy who couldn't get on the field at Ohio State. I still remember sitting in a quarterback meeting room with Joe Burrow, JT Barrett, Dwayne Haskins, and Tate Martell, with a little-known coach named Ryan Day leading the meeting. And, you know, Joe at that time was the backup to JT Barrett, never became a starter, had to transfer, had a decent year last year. And from talking to people on LSU's coaching staff, they felt optimistic about him going into this year. But I don't think anyone could have foreseen what he's been able to do. You know, Baker Mayfield always had this in him. Kyler Murray always had this type of talent. They put up incredible numbers for Oklahoma the last 2 years. But there was a lot of doubt about whether Joe Burrow was even capable of doing this, and he has shown that he is, and he's shattered all of our expectations. It's really a cool story, and obviously if they're able to meet up with Ohio State in the national title game, that would be incredible, because you know, the starting quarterback for LSU, who just got his master's, I think, last week, would have degrees from both of the schools that would be meeting in the championship.
In the second game, Clemson against Ohio State, it seems like when Clemson was the dog, they weren't getting any respect. And now that Ohio State is the dog, they're not getting any respect. What do you make of Clemson's season? The fact that they lead the league, they lead college football in defense, that Trevor Lawrence is playing really well ever since that North Carolina game. He's got 26 touchdowns, 3 interceptions since that game. What do you make of Clemson, even though they haven't really played anybody that's of this caliber going into this game?
Yeah, I mean, they look like arguably the best team in the country since the Carolina scare. And you know, now we're just going to see if their playoff experience and the fact that they are just that good, can they sustain it against a much better opponent? Because they haven't faced anybody with the talent level that comes close to Ohio State, you know, including Texas A&M. Buckeyes are much more talented on defense. They're going to apply pressure to Clemson like they haven't seen all season, or at least going to try to. And then they have the type of secondary that may be able to keep up with those talented receivers, especially Justin Ross, who had the incredible performance in the playoff last year, along with T. Higgins and Amari Rodgers and the others. So it's an incredible receiving core for Clemson, but it's also a really talented group at Ohio State. And then can Clemson's defense, which, as you mentioned, has been so incredible this year, despite losing all those draft picks, especially up front, can they keep it up against an offense that has a talent level they haven't seen all season? They haven't seen a Justin Fields. They haven't seen a J.K. Dobbins. They haven't seen a receiving core with Chris Olave and Benjamin Victor and K.J. Hill, and the list goes on, Garrett Wilson. So can they keep that up against those types of players? Can they essentially raise their level of play significantly because of the competition level? That's what I'm looking forward to, because we know they can do it. We know that they have performed on this stage. But this team, the 2019 Clemson team, can they do it? Because we have not seen them face a team of Ohio State's level all season.
Adam Rittenberg from ESPN joining Chris Black and Adam Abdallah in for Carmen and Yurko right here on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. Justin Fields, his left knee, he said on Tuesday that's only about 80 to 85%. Is that something that Ohio State fans should be worried about before tomorrow's game?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I saw him in the Big Ten Championship, and he looked a bit limited. You know, one thing that Justin has done so well all season, guys, is that he extends plays well when he needs to. He's not a primarily running quarterback, but he can obviously make a lot of things happen with his legs. And he's been really good on third down in terms of avoiding pressure. Even the game against Northwestern, which wasn't really competitive, you know, they had him in some third and medium, third and long early in the game, and he found a way to convert all of those. You know, is he able to do that against obviously a much more talented Clemson defense? I thought the way he performed the second half against Wisconsin showed a lot of guts, especially in the third quarter. And, he should be better than that, because he's had some time to rest without a game in between. So I think he's going to be pretty close to full strength, but we'll notice early on. I mean, Ohio State, guys, in the last two games, the first half has not been as crisp, as clean, as dominant as we saw them for much of the season. Now, they were able to turn that around with big third quarters, especially in the Wisconsin game, the Big Ten Championship. Are they able to do that against Clemson? So I think whichever team punches first is going to be really interesting, because Clemson's facing a much more talented opponent than they've had all year. Ohio State's been a little sluggish in the first halves of their last two games.
We were talking earlier about the playoff, and we took a few calls and we've been reading tweets all day. Whenever we bring up the college football playoff, guys, it'd be so much cooler if there were six teams. Guys, it'd be so much cooler if there were eight teams. How do you feel about the four teams, and do you think they obviously they're going to expand eventually, but how many teams do you think they should expand to?
Yeah, I'm in favor of an 18 playoff, but I don't know if my reasoning is necessarily in line with many people's. It's not because of we'll see more competitive games. Most years, only 2, 3, maybe 4 at the most teams are capable of winning a national title. So you go to an 18 playoff, you're not going to see a bunch of, you know, 3 overtime thrillers. You're probably going to see more blowouts. But my thing is, make it national, create opportunity, because it's really cool for these players and coaches and schools to say, hey, I was part of the playoff. You know, that was a highlight of my career. That was a highlight of my college experience. Right now, it's not national at all. I mean, it's essentially, you know, the SEC, Clemson, and then whoever else is part of it, Oklahoma, now the Big Ten. And, you know, the Pac-12 hasn't been in it now for 3 years. I don't think that's a good thing. I think Notre Dame should be part of it when Notre Dame is worthy. I think other teams that maybe don't win their league should be part of it. Sometimes a group of five teams should be part of it. So I'm more about opportunity and nationalizing the playoff than necessarily, oh, this is going to create a bunch of competitive games, because we've even seen with the four-team model that most of the semifinals are not competitive. And typically, you know, one or two teams can really win this thing. So we'll find out this year. You know, maybe we'll get two competitive semifinals. Maybe we'll get one. Maybe we'll get none. I do think we'll get a really competitive national title game.
And the follow-up on that, Adam, is when we look at the early recruiting day, the signing day that we had a couple of weeks ago, and you look at the rankings, the top five teams from what we saw at that point, it's Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, LSU. Four of the five are the teams in the college football playoff, and it seems like many are saying that college football is starting to get a bit stale at the top. How does a team that's not in the top five, say, you know, a Notre Dame ranked 13th in recruiting on ESPN's website, or some of the other teams that are not as good at recruiting at the moment, how do they get into that top five category to kind of play for the college football playoff? Because that's what it really comes down to at the end of the day. You're right. It's a Southern sport based on the recruiting that goes to Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, LSU. And it seems like everyone else is playing for something that is not the national title.
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think it's based on how much are you willing to invest? How much do you want it as a school, as a donor base, as an athletic department? You know, Clemson went, you know, their slogan is hashtag all in. And it's not just a slogan. Like, that's how they are. They are completely invested in being a championship program year in and year out. And that's what they've created under Dabo Sweeney. You know, so if you're Michigan, are you willing to go that far? If you're USC, which has been under-resourced, in my view, from a recruiting standpoint, they're bringing back Clay Helton, which is not a popular move, but they are investing supposedly more in the recruiting operation. Are you willing to go all in? Texas, where are you at? Are you just a big brand with Matthew McConaughey that likes to talk about how great you used to be? Or are you going to invest to be great? Texas A&M has actually invested the money. They just haven't gotten the return yet. So that's really what it's about. Especially the programs that have historically been great, like USC. USC should be part of the playoff. It really should. And they're behind. They've been behind in facilities. They've been behind in recruiting operation. So those investments have to be made, along with, eventually, in my view, the right head coach to get part of this thing, or it's going to be the same teams every year.
Thank you, Adam. We appreciate it.
All right, thanks, guys. Enjoy the playoff.
You too. Adam Rittenberg from ESPN. Follow him on Twitter at ESPN Rittenberg. And Abdallah, you know, we look at the recruiting rankings each and every year. You have the four teams in the South: LSU, Georgia, Alabama, Clemson. They're the powerhouses of college football. Mm-hmm. Then you have Ohio State, the only team from the Midwest that's ever in the top five in recruiting right now, at least in the last 10 years, right? They're the only team that's capable of doing it. And then, like Adam said, you have Texas A&M. They're ranked 7th. Texas is 11th. Michigan ranked 10th, Notre Dame 13th, and on ESPN.com, you will not find USC. I'm a USC fan. I'm obsessed with the school, the college football program. The problem is on Rivals.com and some of the other websites, they're ranked 70th
in recruiting.
But he's right. If you don't recruit well, you're not going to be here at the Final Four. The problem is the teams that are recruiting well are the teams at the Final Four, and thus you're only getting these teams each and every year.
And Adam brings up a good point for expansion, and it's the only good point I've heard so far, is if more coaches have the opportunity to get to a playoff, more coaches have the opportunity to go into kids' homes the next season and say, you want to make a playoff? Come to USC.
Perhaps.
You want to go to the playoff? Come to Oregon. That will eventually lead to more parity in college football, because more coaches and more teams have a chance. It's not just, hey, you want to go to a national championship game? Come to Clemson. You know, you need more teams in each conference that have an opportunity to get to a playoff.
Okay, so coming up next, Bears fans, you want to hear this. Jalen Hurts is a quarterback playing for Oklahoma for the college football playoff tomorrow.
Already ordered my jersey.
I heard a story on the ESPN Daily podcast I want to play for you, because I think all of us Bears fans want a quarterback next season. And intangibles, I think, are something that's on the list for a quarterback that we would want for the Chicago Bears. There is a story I want to play for you coming up next about Jalen Hurts. Black and Abdallah in for Carmen and Yurko right here on ESPN 1000.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
This hour of Carmen and Yurko is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Catch the Chicago Wolves in person at Allstate Arena this Sunday, December 29th at 3 p.m. against the Milwaukee Admirals. Get your tickets at chicagowolves.com. So, Abdallah, I was listening to the ESPN Daily podcast, and yesterday, Mina Kimes got a chance to talk with Ivan Maisel, the ESPN college football reporter, and they were talking about Jalen Hurts. And it's interesting, and I thought it was worth playing for all of us because as Bears fans, we know we need a quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have 2 second-round draft picks this upcoming year. Mm-hmm. Jalen Hurts is not expected to be a first-round quarterback. Is he expected to be a second-round quarterback? It may be a reach, but if you need a quarterback and there's a guy there, I think both you and I would think it would be a good idea to bring Jalen Hurts in, at least to compete with Mitch Trubisky if you're not going to go sign someone yourself. Here's a story from Ivan Maisel on the ESPN Daily podcast yesterday that I thought was interesting because I think it adds more to who Jalen Hurts is.
In the summers, the athletes at his dad's high school would have conditioning workouts, and Jalen would tag along with his dad and his older brother to the workouts. Well, they did one thing where it's basically a back bridge. You had to lift your butt 6 inches off the ground and hold it. And it was a Tuesday, and Jalen loved, when he was a kid, Popeye's fried chicken. And in Houston, back in the day, you could get 2 pieces of chicken for 99 cents. It was called Two-Piece Tuesday. And this was a Tuesday. His dad told him, if you want Popeyes, you got to be the last guy on the bridge. And he's in there with high school kids, and he made them all drop out because he wanted that fried chicken. And for a six-year-old, you know, to be the last one against high school kids, that told me something about his ability to compete.
Wait, he was six?
He was six.
Wait. He was a six-year-old?
So that's Mina Kimes with Ivan Maisel on the ESPN Daily podcast. The legend of Jalen Hurts beating out high school kids when he was six. How about that?
All you got to know about Jalen Hurts is...
Did you ever hear Trubisky do something like that? He just drove a Camry and booked a reservation for Ryan Pace.
I know that he transferred to Oklahoma after being at Alabama, but when he could have transferred from Alabama when Tua was made the starter, he didn't, and he helped them win an SEC championship game. And he's a leader. You've seen it in games this season. That team doesn't quit. He bails them back.
The Baylor game was the moment for me. And listen, there could be moments tomorrow and in the national title game. If Jalen Hurts and Oklahoma win the national title, mm-hmm. he probably will move into the first-round draft pick conversation, don't you think?
If
he plays well in these two big games?
Yes, it's going to be tough against LSU's defense, but that doesn't mean that he shouldn't be considered by the Bears, and I've already ordered my Jalen Hurts Bears jersey. So
I mean,
don't disappoint me.
I heard that yesterday, and I was like, oh, I just love this guy.
He's so great.
I really like
him. Randy Merkin.
Yes,
Randy.
Does it remind you of the guy the Bears drafted in the second round who can jump out of a pool?
No. You've seen Jalen Hurts before.
Yes. And no, it doesn't remind me of a quarterback from North Carolina who booked a phony reservation for Ryan Pace to impress him. No, it does not remind me of that. This is a kid who's won. Jalen Hurts has always won. And I'm excited to see what he does in the college football playoff. We talk Bears with you coming up next right here on ESPN 1000.